This is Express FM.
Supported by the University of Portsmouth. We are passionately pumping.
Jamolo's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamolo, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Do not clean out your ears or adjust your radios, because Pompey really are top of the league.
Portsmouth are top of League One for the first time in nearly 2 years. They've knocked Hull City off top spot by beating them 2-0 here at the KCOM Stadium.
The Blues went to Hull and back on Friday night to obtain the 3 points, and manager Kenny Jackett was pleased with how his team conducted themselves in the win over the Tigers.
It was a tough game for us. We defended very well and got our goals when we could. And overall, it's an excellent result with a good spirit in our team.
Between now and 7 o'clock, we'll also be hearing from Cam Pring, who is looking to continue his attacking contributions from the left side of defence.
I think it's about time I get my deliveries spot on, to be fair. I have been practising them a lot, so hopefully that's something I can keep adding to and get more assists throughout the season.
81400 is the number to text if you'd like to get involved with the conversation tonight. Be sure to start your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or head on over to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Is it time to recognise Pompey as genuine contenders for automatic promotion this season? Has Kenny Jackett turned this season around for the Blues, or is it still too early to tell? You have T-minus 60 minutes to get your comments into the panel tonight, right here on 93.7 Express FM. A very good evening and welcome along to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and good evening. Welcome one and all to this Monday Night Football Hour here on the only radio station proudly situated on the great waterfront city of Portsmouth, Express FM. As ever, tonight's show is being driven to you by Stagecoach across the South. Head on over to stagecoachbus.com for the latest information regarding timetables, fares and up-to-date COVID guidelines. Coming up tonight, I'll be introducing two more Blues fans to talk all things Pompey until 7 o'clock, including a review of the last game, the recent form of Andy Cannon, and a much improved defence, which has kept 5 clean sheets in all competitions in a row. But before we get to any of that here on the Football Hour, we're going to take you way back to Friday evening, 5:30 to be precise, as the Blues and the Tigers came face to face at the KCOM Stadium. It was first versus second on Humberside. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham had you covered for this one.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scores!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Portsmouth's usual home strip. We don't see that on the road too often. They go from left to right as we look at things at the back of the West Stand. And unfortunately, we are back to empty stands, and you'll hear the echoes as the ball bounces around and the shouting of the coaching staff as we are underway. Portsmouth are in possession in Hull's territory. Williams, he's got options down the left looking for Marquis. Marquis trying to turn away from trouble, can't do so, and Hull win it. And they immediately look for Malik Wilkes to try and come down the right-hand side. Naylor's across. Wilkes goes past him like he's not there. And then Pring got back to make a challenge. He ended up on the ground, as did Wilkes, and the free kick goes the way of Hull City. Just in from the right, 40 yards out, 0-0 the score. Cam Pring will take a left-footed in-swinging corner for Portsmouth, the Bristol City loanee. Right hand in the air. Sends that in towards the far post. Raggett attacks it. He's gone into the back of the net. Is the goal going to count? Raggett isn't sure. It looks like it has been given. What's the referee going to say? There's a player down on the ground. Raggett clearly caught his head as he swung his leg at the ball, but the referee's saying there's no foul and Portsmouth have taken the lead inside 6 minutes at the KCOM Stadium. Hull 0, Portsmouth 1. As Wilkes send Pring to the ground and gets into the Portsmouth penalty area. Oh, terrible mistake from Naylor. Wilkes shoots. Great block. Loose in the area. And Pring falls to the ground. Is fouled. Hull are not happy with that decision. And Portsmouth dodge a bullet there that was trouble of their own making. They lead 1-0. Right, but his delivery is a good one towards the far post. And it's loose in the penalty area. And is it going to be cleared off the line? No, it's in. Portsmouth have scored. Marcus is going to claim it. But I think it might be another own goal. A wonderful delivery from Ronan Curtis. Campering congratulates him. And Portsmouth has doubled the lead. Hull City 0, Portsmouth 2. As Hull try and come through the middle of this Portsmouth side, McGuinness to shoot, it's blocked. I believe he picked up again. Another shot on goal, good save from McGilvery. And cleared away by Johnson. A warning sign for Pompey, who lead 2-0. And Cannon darting forward. Good run this from Cannon. Cannon needs to lay it square to Harness. And Harness outside the area will hit it. And it takes a double deflection and it's going to go through to Ingram, the goalkeeper. As the whistle goes here at the KCOM Stadium. And Portsmouth are top of League One for the first time in nearly 2 years. They've knocked Hull City off top spot by beating them 2-0 here at the KCOM Stadium.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from Pompey's impressive 2-0 victory over league leaders Hull City on Friday night in front of the TV cameras at the KCOM Stadium. That win put the Blues top of League One, leapfrogging their opponents, Hull, of course. The first time Pompey have been leading this division in 23 months. Joining me now to go over all of the events from that game, first and foremost, is Sam Stone. Sam, good evening to you, mate, and welcome back to the show.
Good evening, Jake. Thanks for having me back on. Yeah, feeling really positive about Pompey at the moment. Really nice for us to be top of the league, and I wouldn't have expected that after the first three games of the season. So, yeah, everything looking positive.
Yeah, really positive, and what a time to be supporting the Blues, eh? Sam, as, you know, as we just mentioned there, Pompey, top of the league as it stands. Nothing is won or lost at this stage of the season, of course, but nonetheless, it's a nice thing to be able to say, and certainly the kind of confidence boost which is needed to carry us into the new year.
Yeah, and certainly after the first three games where we hadn't even scored a goal and there was massive questions over this team. And for us to kind of, if you said to me after those three games, you'd be top of the league at Christmas playing some very good football, probably the best football we've played under Kenny Jackett. I wouldn't have believed you. So yeah, it's a massive confidence boost. It's also a psychological thing as well, be top of the league at Christmas. Mm. It tends to be, teams that are up near the top of Christmas tend to do well towards the end of the season. So yeah, it's a big psychological thing. And as we know, we've been there before a couple of seasons ago. Nothing's won at Christmas. But yeah, certainly you can put yourself in a very good position.
Jamie Spencer also joins us over the phone for this one. Good evening to you, Jamie, and thank you for calling in tonight.
Hello, Jake. Good to see you again. How are you doing?
It's a pleasure to have you on, Jamie. I'm doing very well. Not too bad. It's a certainly nice journey back from the KCOM on Friday night. That'd have been a long one if it wasn't quite the result we were after. But, you know, as we just said there, Jamie, league positioning, you know, at this stage means, you know, very little. But considering the start of the season the Blues endured, as Sam's mentioned there, it's quite remarkable, really, how we've gotten to this stage now.
It really is. It's credit to the players and the management team as to how they've responded in what is an absolutely unprecedented season anyway. I think the refreshing thing is that we've now all of a sudden seemed to really find an identity. We've got a consistency throughout the team. Within certainty of probably 9 or 10 players, the starting 11 most games now. And Pompey at times beforehand during Kenny Jackett's reign have been predictable, have been boring, all of those things have been levelled at them. And now, like we say, it seems to have just clicked and we've really turned a corner.
We really have turned a corner, haven't we, Sam? The style of football that the Blues have been playing lately as well, you've got to give credit to, you know, the manager of the team as well, because as Jamie's mentioned, they seem to have just, you know, turned on a switch and just they know how to play football on the deck. They know how to make these intricate 1-2 passes through the midfield and the defence. And we are playing some really nice, attractive football at times. And one man who stood out for me at the weekend was Marcus Harness, who... He just put on a fantastic show. It was very unfortunate, perhaps not to get a goal or an assist to his name throughout the 90 minutes, but you could see certain signs of bits of skill all over the pitch, and it certainly caught the eye of fans, not just of Pompey, but from all over the country on Twitter.
Yeah, I think it was in the first half he took on about three Hull players and went through all of them. And you could tell, I think the commentator said he was in the mood or something like that. But he looked like, he did look like he was kind of a level above. And I've always thought it was about Harness. He's got that first touch that you could, that sets him above this kind of level because he gives himself so much time and space. But he's also got that kind of quick feet in a tight area. But yeah, as you say, the football we've been playing, I was fortunate enough to get to the Fleetwood game before the restrictions come in, and I just felt that the ball being played on the floor, the tempo, it was something we hadn't seen under a Kenny Jackett side before, and it is refreshing to see that. And it's also coupled with this defensive, like, being so solid at the back, because it just gives you such a good platform to work off. On Friday night, we didn't create a hell of a lot of chances, but the fact that we were so solid made the 2-0 win very comfortable and actually quite an easy win.
Yeah. And speaking of Marcus Harness there, Jamie, you know, we've really highlighted what a fantastic player he can be on his day for Pompey, and he's showing signs of consistency this season. But his performance on Friday night, you know, just goes to show that the confidence, not just, you know, within him, but within the entire team, really is at quite a peak level right now. They're able to take on these kind of skills. They're able to make these runs past the defence. You know they can do it, and they are starting to put those, you know, put those skills to better use.
Yeah, they are. And I think we've seen, you know, a lot of the time the focal point of this side has been Ronan Curtis and what's Ronan going to do this week. If Ronan doesn't play, then Pompey don't play. And actually, you know what, the goals have been shared around the team a lot more. The accountability, you know, I think, you know, seeing the way that Tom Naylor's played and being able to give the guys some freedom to go forwards, it has been exemplary. And also, you know, credit to Andy Cannell alongside him as well, because it takes two to make a partnership in that midfield. And both of them have allowed those creative front four to be able to really showcase their talent.
Yeah.
And it's paying off.
Bailey Rousell agrees with you on Facebook there, Jamie. He says that Andy Cannon is really important to Pompey's team right now. And it's really hard to argue against that, isn't it, Sam? The performances he's been putting in midfield over the last few weeks against promotion contenders as well, alongside Tom Naylor, seems to have found quite a nice little partnership there.
Yeah, especially in the Fleetwood game as well. I thought he was superb throughout the whole game. He was everywhere. He kind of is giving me kind of Ben Thompson vibes of when he was here. He's just that kind of box to box midfielder, but he's good on the ball as well. You know, he drives forward with the ball, and since he's been moved into that centre mid position instead of playing a bit too far forward, he's been a real revelation. So yeah, especially this season as well, he's really kicked on, and it's good to see, because I've always rated Andy Cannon.
Yeah, and going back to the stats from Friday's game over Hull, the win over Hull, of course, Jamie, Pompey 2-0 winners, now of course leapfrogging their opponents, top of the League One standings at this point, of course. Two goals to their name, but zero shots on target. Right, quite a bizarre stat, if you will, from that game. The first goal, it could be argued, maybe, is it an own goal? Would you credit Sean Raggett for that one? The second goal, there's no doubt about it. But it's not often you see a team win a match having not actually had a shot on target, let alone score multiple goals.
I think if you asked the referee would have probably given it as a Raggett goal, because otherwise it was probably a foul. So I think that the I've seen various people calling and clamouring for Raggett to be credited with the goal anyway, and there's a few lost bets over that one, I think, that I've seen on social media. But he's got himself in the right position, hasn't he? And he's given himself every chance of being able to go and attack the ball, and that's what's played into his hands on this occasion, because he's managed to put the defender in such a compromising position that actually it still looked as though, even on the replay, still was very, very close to say, did it come off of his foot or didn't it? And I think that's why he's got the benefit of the doubt and the goal was given.
Yeah, and albeit we can't see the goal, but we can listen to the goal, as you say, from Sean Raggett, or was it a Jacob Greaves own goal? We're not sure, but nonetheless, we'll take a listen back to that now.
Sends that in towards the far post. Raggett attacks it. He's got into the back of the net. Is the goal going to count? Raggett isn't sure. Referee saying there's no foul, and Portsmouth have taken the lead inside 6 minutes at the KCOM Stadium.
And, you know, I'm guessing you've seen the replays. You watched the game on Friday, Sam. Sean Raggett, he got his foot, he got a connection to the ball, didn't he? It's just whether or not the final touch came off the head of Greaves and went back into, you know, the corner of the net. To me, in my opinion, as a Pompey fan, it didn't look like, you know, that's one you can take off Sean Raggett, because, it, like Jamie said, he got himself into the right position. He got his foot into a great position, and it's a pinpoint shot, if you like, into the top corner of the net. I'd say credit that down to Raggett.
Yeah, they in the slow-mo replays, it looked like he kind of just got a toe onto it, which then went onto the defender's head and then into the goal. But I will say that they obviously were claiming a foul, but for me, the defender there has got himself in a really bad position initially when he's defending the corner. So it's kind of like, I'm pleased the referee didn't give a foul, obviously, but it's actually refreshing to see the referee not give a foul for that, because the defender's actually got himself in such a bad position. And then Raggett's got every right to go for that ball. And for me, it was actually refreshing for him to see that goal awarded, because so many times we see it in the Premier League, etc., that goals are just ruled out for very minimal contact on defenders and goalkeepers. So it was refreshing to see.
What made me laugh as well, Jamie, was that after the ball hit the back of the net, Greaves and a whole number of whole players surrounding him were claiming to the referee that they should have had a foul, that perhaps Sean Raggett had a high boot on Greaves. But actually, when you look back on it, and this isn't just coming from a Pompey perspective, but Sean Raggett's foot couldn't have been any more than 1 or 2 feet off the ground. It was Greaves who dived downwards for the header. That's not a high boot. That's putting himself in a dangerous position, if anything.
No, and that's why I think the referee made the decision that he did. The thing as well, I mean, Raggett's face, I wouldn't like to see, you know, if the last box of chocolates went out of the pack there, I wouldn't like to see his reaction, because he was a brilliant, like, had no idea what was going on, did he? He just sort of turned around and went, what? Was it me? It wasn't me? It was me. Yeah, all right, okay, let's go with it. So, you know, fair play to him for that, because, you know, he felt, if anything, I think the foul was the other way, didn't he? Yeah. And didn't actually realise immediately that the ball had gone into the back of the net. So, it may be a compelling lie or not. I'll take it.
It's a classic kind of Sean Raggett celebration or non-celebration as well, Sam, isn't it? We've seen goals from him quite a few over the last kind of, you know, few weeks and months. He scored, of course, against Oxford in the league back in November, and then the week after against King's Lynn, of course, over Ipswich in the FA Cup too. Before that, scoring against Fleetwood just before the first lockdown, Tranmere Rovers back in February. You know, a player who has received his critics, you know, within his first season, but actually seems to be coming on leaps and bounds this campaign, not just because of his goals, but because of his performances back as well. Quite an integral part to Pompey's back four.
Yeah, especially in this last four or five games against these teams in and around us. I think I'd go as far as to say he's one of the most important players, because that back four has been so solid. And even with Nicolaisen coming in to replace Watmore on Friday night, to me, it didn't really look like there was much difference. I still felt comfortable watching the game. Lots of crosses coming in from Hull, but I didn't really see any kind of threat, and he dealt with it very well. So yeah, he's been such an important player for us recently.
Yeah. As always, Pompey fans, if you've got anything to add to the discussion tonight, please do feel free. We'd love to hear from each and every one of you over the course of the hour. You can text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com. You can include @expressfm within your tweets, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. And very shortly, we'll hear the post-match thoughts of the gaffer Kenny Jackett, who is pleased with the way his side have been moving forward lately, despite both goals on Friday requiring a little bit of luck.
However they come, you want to score goals. We've got a good total so far this year, and we do feel from, you know, all across our forward line and one or two other areas and our subs bench, we have some goals in us this year. And, you know, long may that continue, because it does give, you know, the boys at the back something to battle for, and at the right time, something to hang on for as well.
Join us again for part two of this Monday Football Hour right here on Express FM. We'll be back very shortly.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7.
Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to the second part of this evening's Football Hour on Express FM, which is, of course, being brought to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Jamie Spencer and Sam Stone join me tonight to review all of the action from Pompey's 2-0 win over Hull City on Friday night. That result, of course, putting the Blues top of the League One table, at least until tomorrow night. We'll talk about tomorrow night's games in a little bit more detail later in the show. We've got an email now from Graham Wilkins, who says, "Hi Jake, hi all. Pompey thoroughly deserved their win on Friday night against a very good Hull side who didn't really worry the Blues. Both of our goals were own goals, but that's due to the pressure that Pompey caused from the corners and free kicks respectively. I would have given 2 penalties if the balls hadn't gone in. So, top of the table and well deserved. Also, what helped was the ref, who was decent and played the game and wasn't blowing his whistle every 5 minutes, and no bookings either. So, going into Christmas, Graham says, things are looking good, and hopefully, although there are no fans at Fratton Park on Boxing Day, I fully expect a convincing win if the game goes ahead, depending on which players are COVID-free," says Graham Wilkins on the email. And we'll come on to Graham's later point within that email later in the show. But we're going to carry on talking about Friday's win over Hull City. Sam Stone, Jamie Spencer still on the line for me this evening, I trust. Going back to Friday then, Jamie, and really, well, reviewing the last few games, Graham mentioned there that one big factor to Pompey's victory, or really just to the free-flowing nature of the match at the weekend, was the fact that we actually had a referee who allowed the game to go at its pace and you know, not disrupt it every few minutes with silly fouls and really unnecessarily, you know, stopping the game. Because you've got to say that on Tuesday night against Fleetwood, that really dictated the flow of the game.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? And it was disappointing because, you know, we know how Portsmouth like to set up and play now, and that does look like, you know, trying to play football. We know exactly what Fleetwood want to come and try and do, and that's disrupt every opportunity and get in the referee's ear. And we were a little bit guilty of being dragged into their style of play. You know, but in that game, we didn't ever really look too uncomfortable again. It was one of those games that just sort of first half, we felt as though this is never going to end 10, you know, with 11 men on either side. And second half, it calmed down. There was some slightly, but it had to because of the number of cards that were being dished out by the referee. So he never really got control of the game on Tuesday. But no. Yeah, I felt as though it was Friday was in stark contrast to that, and actually the referee did have a good game and did let things go and did, you know, I think as well you've got to give Pompey some more credit. Actually, their discipline on Friday night was very good. We didn't give away many opportunities for them to get the ball into the box. You know, I'm struggling to remember when we were really under the cosh at any point in the game, and that's because we weren't giving away those silly fouls.
Can you think of any point within the last 4 league matches, Jamie, where Pompey have been under precaution, where you sat there and thought, but actually we might be losing said game? You know, we picked up 10 points out of a possible 12 from Peterborough, Ipswich, Fleetwood and now Hull, of course. And you've got to say, throughout all of those matches, none of those games really you felt uncomfortable watching.
No, it didn't at all, did it? And you know, the Blackpool game even before that, at the beginning of December, was by no means a mauling. You know, it wasn't a great.
I think we may have lost Jamie there for
great
a brief
game,
second.
Let's be honest about that. But you know, we came away from there with a 1-0 narrow defeat. Well, you're back with me.
I think we are back with you, Jamie. You keep dropping it. I can hear you back now. Can you hear?
Sorry.
No, that's absolutely fine, mate. That's what happens. We've got live radio over lockdown. But carry on with your point.
Yeah, even the Blackpool game, it wasn't by any stretch a mauling, was it?
No.
It was a disappointing game for us, but you know, we didn't get outplayed on the day. It was just one of those games where we didn't really do enough ourselves rather than actually being totally under the cosh the whole game.
Stephen Jerome's got in touch on the emails. He says, "Hi lads, it was a fantastic result for us against Hull, and while it was a bit of luck on our part with the 2 own goals, from them. It won us the game. The important thing was that we got the result to put us top of the table. I make that four clean sheets in a row now, and we have to give credit to the back four and Craig McGillivray for that. It looks like we have a good strong defence now, and I think picking up these consecutive clean sheets bodes well for the rest of the season. So, top of the league now, and very well deserved. It's a shame though to hear the news, but Jack Watmore and a couple of other players have tested positive for coronavirus. I hope they are not feeling too bad, and I wish them a speedy recovery. Stephen Jerome on the emails there. And Sam, Stephen mentions, again, we'll come on to the point about the positive COVID test within the squad in the next part of the show, but he mentions there but the consecutive clean sheets. It is now four in a row in the league for Pompey, but five consecutive if you consider the EFL Trophy win over Cheltenham Town as well in between all of those matches as well. And I now count that as 466 minutes that the Blues have gone without conceding a goal in all competitions. 466 minutes just goes to further emphasise the point of which Stephen is saying there, Sam.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually realise it was that long, but that's an impressive record. And I found that on Friday, it was, as Jamie mentioned, I didn't really feel like they were going to score at any point. Obviously, they hit the crossbar towards the end, but the amount of crosses they loaded into the box and our two centre-halves just deal with it every single time. And I saw a stat on Friday night that Pompey haven't conceded from a corner this season. They've only conceded one goal from a cross or something like that. So it's a way of playing. It's almost like a percentage way of playing. You know, if a team like Hull are just going to load balls into the box, you know, at the most of the time we do deal with it. And it's a way of playing. It's a way of getting clean sheets. And if you get those clean sheets, you really don't have to do much at the other end of the pitch to get the win. So, yeah, and that's what showed on Friday night, because we actually didn't do that much at the other end of the pitch and we ended up getting a couple of goals. But it was all because of that defensive being solid at the back and having that clean sheet.
And that's
the other thing. Sorry, Jay, I was just going to say the other thing to note as well is that it's not like it's been a consistent back four or five either during that period. You know, we've had Lee Brown in there for a couple of games. We've obviously had Jack Watmore in for a few games. So that's better. And the number of games that we've had to play in a really short space of time, let's not forget that either. You know, that's all over a 2-week period. That's pretty good going for a side. You know, the confidence has got to be really, really high.
That was really my next point, Jamie, and the fact that we haven't really had a settled back four over the last few weeks, have we? We've kept these clean sheets, but as you mentioned, Jack Watmore out of the squad on Friday night, we feared that may have been a big factor in what could have been a totally different result at the KCOM Stadium. Lee Brown, of course, going out with an injury for 2 or 3 weeks. So it really emphasises as well that Pompey have seemed to learn their lessons from previous seasons in that, you know, Sam mentioned earlier on that in that second half on Friday and the second half against Fleetwood at Fratton Park last Tuesday, there may have been a bit more of a lack of composure. Pompey may not have seen out the result, but not only that, but we are now claiming victories in matches where we are slight underdogs in and where we do have injury problems. So it's good to see that we are squashing all of these factors week in, week out. And actually, we do look aside to be feared in this division.
Yeah, we really do. And you look at the players as well that haven't probably had much game time either. You know, we've still got players like Ellis Harrison and Minoga, who hasn't had much game time, but is a really exciting prospect for us as well. So it's testament to that side to be able to do what they've done. And let's hope that they get the opportunity to carry it on.
Yeah. Paul O'Neill on Facebook says, but Pompey are definite contenders and no team to be scared of in this league. This division is there for the taking this year. Paul O'Neill on Facebook. Let's now hear from the man who led Pompey to victory at the weekend. Kenny Jackett spoke to Ollie Marsh after the final whistle, first highlighting how big that win over Hull really was.
It was a big win. I thought that Hull have a lot of championship experience. The way they moved the ball at times was very, very good, and it was a tough game for us. We defended very well and got our goals when we, you know, when we could. And overall, it's an excellent result with a good spirit in our team.
Has there been any dressing room discussion over the first goal, whether it goes to Raggett or whether it goes down as an own goal?
Yeah, I'm not going to go in and argue with Sean Raggett, but similarly, you know, for you guys that have seen the replays, it might be a little bit clearer for you than it is for me at the moment. So we'll see which way it falls.
Were both of the goals pleasing for you, obviously, to come from set pieces?
Yeah, however they come. You want to score goals. We've got a good total so far this year, and we do feel from, you know, all across our forward line and one or two other areas and our subs bench, we have some goals in us this year, and you know, long may that continue, because it does give, you know, the boys at the back something to battle for, and at the right time something to hang on for as well. There were good deliveries, both very good deliveries in terms of our goals, and then without Sean's presence and the right runs, it doesn't result in the goals.
And defensively strong as well, even without Jack Watmore, who was absent today.
Yeah, Jack was feeling rough this morning. He got better as the day went on, but we didn't feel it was right for him to play, and it was an opportunity for Rasmus Nicolaisen. I think that's his best performance for us to date, his hardest game by a long way, and he responded very, very well, I thought.
What does it say about the strength and depth that you have, that you can have Lee Brown and Jack Watmore, two of your key defenders, out and still look so resolute?
Yeah, it's just, you know, what football seasons are, and you're going to lose players, and not always have your strongest side, and there has to be competition for places, because, you know, it's up to the guys that come in to hold onto the shirt and make sure that when other people are fit, they don't get back in, and that's their test, and if you have a good squad and a good team, that does happen.
We spoke about that incentive before the game of going top of the league. Now that you're there, what does it do for confidence, for morale in the dressing room?
Yeah, there's a good spirit building in the players. There's a determination. And on the ball, I do feel, you know, we have some good combinations at the moment and play very well. Now we want to build that type of confidence, keep that spirit going, and then look forward. We're in a good position in terms of other sides around us, points total that we've got, and we have to keep building on that. If you know, we can take that type of focus into the games ahead, then we'll be okay.
And for tomorrow, it's going to be a packed programme in League One. How will you be keeping up with the games? Are there any that you've particularly got your eye on?
Yeah, there are, and you know, I'll be game tomorrow, but similarly, it'll unfold. It's just not something that I worry about until maybe 4:40 and concentrate on you know, my own job, really, if you like, which is ultimately the game's coming up and opportunities to see people that we have to play in a short space of time.
The gaffer Kenny Jackett there speaking on the touchline after Pompey's 2-0 win at the KCOM Stadium on Friday night. One more Facebook interaction now from Blake O'Neill, who says, Pompey turned up with a plan and definitely carried it out. We may not have had any shots on target, but we outplayed them for the majority of the 90 minutes. It was a class all-round performance, and it was a much-deserved 3 points, says Blake O'Neill on Facebook. And yeah, you know, continuing to talk about that big win on Friday, Sam, not only was it a win for Pompey, but it was one which was thoroughly deserved as well, against a Hull side who, okay, they're on a bit of a downer in terms of form right now. That was their third consecutive defeat in the league, but nonetheless, they are still a very good team. They showed glimpses of that at the weekend as well. And Pompey to go to the KCOM Stadium, a team, of course, relegated from the Championship last term, and get the victory, get the clean sheet, and really play as the better side. That's some testament to the squad.
Yeah, I think regardless of their recent form, they've still got a lot of quality in their side. The likes of Malik Wilkes, the right back Josh Emmanuel, I thought he was very good on the night, and he was a very tough challenge for Ronan Curtis. Ronan Curtis really couldn't get past him the whole night, and I could definitely see him playing at a higher level. So they've definitely got some very good players as well. The Lewis Potter, who came off and he made a bit of came on at half time, made a bit of a difference. So I still think they'll be up there at the end of the season, which kind of puts into perspective the win on Friday, because beating these teams at the top of the league, if you told me we're going to get 10 points out of the four games against these sides, I wouldn't have believed you again. So it's really impressive, but obviously we've got to cement that position now with playing teams nearer the other end of the table, the likes of, you know, Swindon. We've got Bristol Rovers in a few weeks as well. These are the games you need to cement your position at the top, because when you drop points in those games, it makes the games at the higher, when you're playing these teams around you, they're even more important. There's even more pressure on them.
Yeah. And teams around Pompey may have games in hand, Jamie, but the Blues have points on the board, and we've argued in kind of recent seasons, whereas, you know, Pompey have had these games in hand, we've given ourselves an opportunity to play catch up with you know, the top two or three in the division, but we've never really capitalised on that. Do you think this is the season where Pompey find themselves in the position where they've got the points on the board, they don't really have any games in hand? I know that could all change in the next few days, but do you think that actually might benefit us come the end of the season, when there's a bit more of a, or a bit less of a congested fixture schedule, and we don't really have to rely on us doing the job as such?
Yeah, look, I absolutely wholeheartedly think that's going to be the case. And if you look already at the fixtures coming up in the next few weeks, you know, you've got Hull missing their next game, which is postponed against Sunderland. Peterborough's next game postponed against Gillingham. Then Peterborough and Charlton due to meet on the 29th, which has also been postponed already. So, you know, this Pompey situation, whether it pans out one way or another, it's, we're not going to be the only ones that are going to be in this position, but we're fortunate that we've been undisrupted until now. I think it's inevitable that we're going to see further delays throughout the season. And if you go the whole season without doing it, then to be honest with you, the way things are going, you've been lucky.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have to be accepting of the fact and patient with the season. But yeah, I'd rather be sat there with the points on the board, because it make a hell of a difference psychologically to those teams playing catch up.
Yeah, but you know, Sam, if things do go our way, if Pompey are fortunate to miss any sort of break throughout at least the next few weeks or so, as Jamie mentioned there, some of the teams around us with games postponed into the new year, if Pompey can get some points on the board, really kind of create a bit of a gap between first and second, or even third in the table. Yes, teams will still have these games in hand, but it'll be quite a platform to put ourselves onto, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would do it. I wholeheartedly agree. I don't think you always want to have the points on the board. We've had it in previous seasons, the season when we played Peterborough in our penultimate game, where we knew what we had to do to go up. And the pressure is too much sometimes, and you always would rather have the points on the board. So at this point, especially with these games getting called off all over the place, you know, we could be 4 or 5 points clear of the third place team if we capitalise. So it could be a massive thing going forward.
Yeah. OK, there is still plenty of time for you to get involved with the show from back home, Blues fans. We'd still like to know your thoughts on whether or not you believe this squad is good enough to keep up with the chase for automatic promotion. Do you think the Blues are in a false position with teams below them racking up games in hand? And what praises do you have from Pompey's win over Hull on Friday night? The time is now just gone past 6:40, which means you just have under 20 minutes to get in touch with the panel this evening before we leave you in the hands of Jeff Dorsett and Adrian Collis with the Soft Rock Show at 7. To get in touch, either text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. It's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails, at ExpressFM if you're on Twitter, or head on over to facebook.com/PompeyLive. After the break, we'll be hearing more reaction from that win over Hull City, and this time we'll have the thoughts of Cam Pring, who was full of praise for his teammates and the way they dealt with a second half fight back at the KCOM Stadium on Friday.
I think the last 20, they had two of the big ones up front, and they just put balls into the box, and it is hard to deal with, but the boys dug in and we come away with a massive result.
Join myself, Sam and Jamie as we take a listen to that interview with the Pompey left-back and go through more of your text, tweets and emails when the Monday Football Hour returns in just a few moments' time, right here on 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the third and final part of this evening's Football Hour, which is supported this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan and even pay for your next journey. And please remember that a face covering must be worn on public transport. We're going to head straight into this part of the show by hearing from Loney Cam Pring, who spoke to Ollie Marsh after Friday's victory on Humberside, first speaking about how big a result that was for the Blues.
Yeah, it's massive. I think if we take our performances like that every game, we'll do well, and we'll hopefully stay top.
You must have known it was a big game going into it. Was the preparation any different, or was it just business as usual?
Business as usual. I think we just take every game as it comes now, and we do our jobs right. We get the clean sheet, and I think the forward players will do their job and get the goals that we need. Obviously, we don't know whether that's an own goal or not today with Rags, but we've done our job today, and hopefully we can kick on and stay there now.
Yeah, we just heard from Rags, he's definitely claiming it, but there's one thing that's not up for debate, and that's that it was a really good delivery into the box. You must have been happy with it.
Yeah, I think it's about time I get my deliveries deliveries spot on, to be fair. I have been practicing them a lot, so hopefully that's something I can keep adding to and get more assists throughout the season.
And in terms of just coming into the side for you, has it just been a case of waiting patiently and knowing that that chance is going to come?
Not knowing that the chance is going to come. I don't really want to... It is horrible seeing other people injured, but yeah, you've got to be ready for it and obviously play well when it comes and try to take the chance. I think I've done well. I think I've done well tonight. I think I kept their winger quite quiet, but it was a really good team performance. So it was the lads made it easier for me.
Yeah, it can't be underestimated how strong they are. How much did you have to dig deep in, especially as the game went on?
Yeah, definitely. I think the last 20 they had two of the big ones up front, and they just put balls into the box, and it is hard to deal with, but like I said, the boys dug in and we come away with a massive result.
And of course it puts you top of the league. Is there a bit of a celebratory atmosphere in the dressing room at the moment?
Oh yeah, the boys are buzzing. That's what we come here for, and we're going to do our best to stay there now.
Cam Pring there with his post-match thoughts from Friday night. And just a final word from that game, that victory at Buccleuch Stadium. Jamie, looking at Pompey's record this season against the top sides in this division, the Blues' form against the current top six currently stands at 4 wins, 0 draws and 1 defeat. And we've spoken on previous football hours and previous years gone by that Kenny Jackett's record against the kind of big teams in this division has been poor, has been lacklustre, and has been one of the reasons why we haven't necessarily obtained automatic promotion. Whereas this season, we are picking up these very important wins against the top sides, and now we've got to keep that kind of consistency going into the new year, and I guess really carrying on picking up the points against the lower sides in the league, you could say.
Yeah, we have. And the most pleasing thing about that is it's 3 away wins, isn't it? Lincoln, their Hull, obviously, and Ipswich is the 3 teams. And you've got to say that's pretty impressive going, because they've now got to come to Fratton Park. And let's hope and pray that when they do, that there are some Pompey fans in there, because it's probably unlikely we're going to see away fans at any point throughout the rest of the course of this season, you'd imagine, given the way things are. But, you know, that could be such an advantage for Pompey coming into the close of the season there, having home fans and trying to get them over the line in some of these promotion or title contending, let's hope, games.
Yeah. And... yeah, that really is it from the weekend's action then, Sam. And going on to a few other talking points now, and just first of all, of course, Doncaster playing tomorrow night. They play against Shrewsbury. If they do claim victory in that match, they will leapfrog Pompey and be top of the table at Christmas. We're hoping that the Blues will remain Christmas number one this year. Really hoping that former Pompey boss Steve Cottrell will be continuing to deliver the presents for Pompey this month. He's been doing the club a few favours so far, hasn't he? Since he's took over at the New Meadow, he's beaten a few promotion rivals for Pompey, and they've done very well. I think he's still undefeated there, actually, and claimed wins against the likes of Hull and Lincoln too. So hopefully it will be a hat-trick for him tomorrow, and hopefully it will give Pompey a bit of a boost.
Yeah, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they go and get a result or get themselves at least a draw, because they got a good result at Hull and then went and beat Lincoln as well. So there's two good results. They've obviously got that kind of new manager kind of boost from when you've been under they were stuttering under Sam Ricketts for a long time. So they've come in, it's refreshing for them. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll be nice for Pompey to be top at Christmas. It's just the kind of, obviously there's a stat where any team who's top at Christmas usually finishes in and around the playoffs. So hopefully, fingers crossed, they'd do us a favour on Tuesday night.
Yeah. Jeff Harris on Twitter after the game said, but 10 points out of 12 against these recent sides is fantastic. But I want to mention Tom Naylor's transitional play that's gone up tenfold this season, along with his goals. His passing is so much better and vital to starting counter-attacks. He is driving this team forward, says Jeff Harris on Twitter. And Anthony Hess, proud of that from the Blues tonight. Not our best performance, but so much to like about it. The team is brewing with confidence, with Naylor and Cadden outstanding and integral to our success. Raggett and Pring also excellent, but all 11 superb. He ends that tweet with happy Anthony Hess on Twitter. So going on to more pressing matters. They are very pressing matters, Jamie, and that is, but Of course, we've learnt in the last couple of days, but Jack Watmore missing the game at Hull on Friday was due to him testing positive for COVID, and we hadn't learnt that information until Saturday morning. He, of course, told the gaffer that he wasn't feeling too well on Friday morning. Of course, the team didn't take any precautions, went and played Hull without him, got the 3 points, but we have since learned that he has tested positive for COVID. In the last 24 hours, we have also heard that two more Pompey players have also tested positive for COVID, although no official word on who they quite are at this stage, which goes on to beg the question as to whether Boxing Day, Saturday, the game against Swindon Town, will indeed go ahead. We've previously mentioned that other teams around us have got postponements and, fixtures to fulfil at the end of the campaign due to, COVID creeping in into different squads. But this now may, after so long, Pompey dodging a few bullets and managing to wiggle around teams who've, had positive, COVID results, Pompey may not actually suffer and have a few postponements of their own.
Yeah, I think, there's every opportunity or potential that there will be, Jake, and we've just got to wait and see, haven't we? I think that the club have acted in the right way. They've taken no precautions. They're now, going to be testing the entire squad, which hopefully has already happened now, and we're merely just waiting for the results. But let's all keep our fingers crossed that's not too widespread throughout the squad. But also, throughout Portsmouth as well as a city, because we want to get back to being able to get fans in stadiums as quickly as we possibly can, and thoughts with everyone who's being affected by the current restrictions at the moment, because it's not nice out there, is it, at all?
No. And our colleague Chris Wise on Twitter just yesterday tweeting that Ryan Williams, Sam, will also have to isolate after room sharing with Jack Watmore before the Hull game. So, not necessarily Ryan Williams, coming into direct contact with the virus, but of course, due to restrictions, due to government guidelines, he will now have to isolate. So if that game goes ahead against Swindon on Saturday, he will not be involved within the squad. So, looking at the two players we know so far who, officially won't be playing on Saturday, if, of course, the game goes ahead, Jack Watmore, Ryan Williams, would you say that Pompey have got enough nous within their team to still get over the line and still claim a victory against Swindon with those two players missing?
Well, yeah, you'd like to think so. This season, more than any, having a squad, a good squad depth, is probably more important, and Pompey do have that. Nick Larson stepping for Watmore again. We've got good options on the bench. Michael Jacobs, Hawula can both come in and deputise for Ryan Williams. He's been superb the last few games, but it'll be big shoes to fill. But Michael Jacobs was very good before he got injured, so I don't see it being an issue in the long run. But yeah, this season more than ever, it is good to have that squad depth, which we do have. Mm. Hopefully Pompey have acted in the right way regarding all the protocols, because I know we've seen a few examples where clubs have had to actually play games with eight or nine players out, Sunderland being an example the other week, because they weren't sure whether they'd get punished by the EFL. Mm. So hopefully it doesn't come down to that. It doesn't seem like it will. It seems like all the protocols have been followed and testing the whole squad. So hopefully the game goes ahead on Saturday and the players who come in will be able to get the job done.
Yeah. And if that game does go ahead on Boxing Day, Jamie, unfortunately, due to, the weekend's news, but, Portsmouth has been placed into Tier 4. Unfortunately, no fans will be allowed inside Fratton Park for that Boxing Day fixture. And of course, even if Pompey were in Tier 3, that would still be the case. So, again, it is all ifs and buts. And, Pompey fans, as soon as we do hear official confirmation on whether or not that game goes ahead, we'll have all the information on our website, expressfm.com. I'll be back with the Football Hour on Christmas Eve, 6 till 7. We'll either be previewing the game or not. We'll be here nonetheless, sir. But, if that game doesn't go ahead, Pompey back to Fratton Park, Jamie, without, 2,000 fans behind them, that could have a bit of an impact on the result.
Yeah, I think it's a step, certainly backwards to where we all want to be, which is seeing Fratton Park getting increasing numbers of fans in across the weeks. And as I said, let's just hope that as we get towards the latter end of the season, that we can start to see more fans coming in, because it will make such a difference to this side. And, we've seen how they've reacted to having fans back in the ground. We've only had the opportunity for a limited number of fans to get back in there. And I know I was one of them that was desperate to be able to be called out on the ballot. Unfortunately, I wasn't, unlike Sam and yourself. But look, you know, the sooner that day comes, the better for us all, right?
Yeah. Jamie, Sam, I'm afraid that is just about all we've got time for tonight. Thank you both for joining me over the course of the hour. It's been fantastic. Jamie, have a great week and enjoy your Christmas, mate.
Yeah, Jake, thank you for all you've done this year as well, mate. You've been brilliant, as have the rest of the team. Well done.
Cheers, Jamie. Really appreciate the words. Sam Stone, have a fantastic Christmas. Have a great new year and we'll catch up with you hopefully in January.
Cheers, mate. Have a good Christmas too. Enjoy Boxing Day, mate.
And Pompey fans, of course, with the news, but of course, our city has been placed into Tier 4. Don't forget that we're here at Express FM. We care. We are here for you. Liam Howells, of course, with the rest of the Express FM team, have set up Wellbeing Portsmouth. You can visit expressfm.com/wellbeingportsmouth. The aim is to offer useful advice for anyone who may be struggling with the effects of this pandemic and the impact it has had on all of our lives and, of course, the mental side of that as well. So please don't hesitate to speak out. You can contact us, as I say, on our website, expressfm.com. Just a quick word now on having to Waterlooville. The Hawks are going really well in the FA Trophy this season, aren't they? Paul Doswell's side beat fellow National League South side Braintree by a 1-0 at the weekend to set up a tie at home to Altrincham in the next round. The United Services of Portsmouth once again progressed into the FA Vars at the weekend. They beat Millbrook in a dramatic 3-2 win at the Victory Stadium on Saturday. And unfortunately, the Pompey women's fixture away to Cardiff Ladies yesterday was postponed, so they haven't managed to play at all this weekend. But you can head on over to at Pompey Women on Twitter for the latest information on their next fixtures, of course, with this new announcement in regards to the tier system in the country. We're not too sure on when that will be, but you can head over to Twitter at Pompey Women for the latest information regarding those. Okay, well, I am afraid that is just about all we've got time for tonight. But fear not, Blues fans, because we'll be back for another match day here on Express FM in just a few days' time. If, of course, the game goes ahead, you can catch all of the unmissable action. Pompey play host to Swindon Town, of course, recently promoted from League 2. Boxing Day football at Fratton Park. And all of the action will be right here on Express FM from 2 o'clock on Pompey Live.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey made the 9-hour round trip to Humberside on Friday to take on the current League One leaders, Hull City, and they came away with all 3 points after a 2-0 win, which put them top of the league. Up next for Pompey, they play host to Swindon Town. Join us for all the unmissable action for this Boxing Day cracker. It's Pompey versus Swindon Town on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
As I say, that is just about all we've got time for here on the Monday Football Hour tonight. Thank you to everyone who tuned in throughout the course of the hour or show. It's been a great show. Thanks to Sam Stone and Jamie Spencer once again for joining me throughout the course of the 60 minutes to review Pompey's impressive win over Hull City on Friday night. As I've mentioned, you can catch us again on Christmas Eve. That's this Thursday between 6 and 7. I'll be joined live in the studio over the phone by Ryan Stilwell and Sam Macy to hopefully preview Pompey's Boxing Day fixture at home to Swindon Town. But if that game is called off, head over to expressfm.com for the latest articles and news on Pompey, and we will still be here on Christmas Eve to talk about the events and what that will mean for the Blues heading into the new year period. Okay, up next is the Soft Rock Show with Jeff and Aid. They'll be bringing you Christmas tunes by Deborah Fenella, Todd Rudgren and Bombay Bicycle Club, as well as Alice Cooper and Aisha Vaughan. Christmas carols from 9 o'clock through till 10, and then from 10 o'clock through into the night, we've got the Christmas wind down, the most chilled out Christmas tunes. Once again, you can catch Mason Jordan for Portsmouth Breakfast tomorrow from 7 o'clock. Darren Gavelin is back from 10, and then Ian James is back from 1 o'clock with the victory years. Pompey fans, thank you very much for joining me tonight. Hopefully we'll see you on Christmas Eve and Boxing Day too. Have a great week, Blues fans, and if we don't see you before then, have a very Merry Christmas. Good night.